Okay, we'll pray and we'll jump right in this. Dear Father, we just come to you just to honor you and praise you for who you are. We thank you for just another opportunity to get into your presence. And we seek wisdom and understanding on today, and we bless you in advance for it. And we just declare that what you reveal to us, we will put it into action. And we just thank you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. All righty. There's a lesson that I wanna do, and it kind of stems from a writing that I did a few days ago, where it says I want a choice. But there are some things that's going on in this world that we're living in, and things are changing so fast right now. And we're having to make just a lot of adjustments to a lot of things. And so I just want to kind of just, share with you some insight on some things and continue to give you as much information, information as I can. And I want to try to always, position the church where we're dealing with the scriptures, past, present, and also future. It's vitally important that we do that. We need to know where we've come from, who we are now, and where we're going. And we can't effectively teach the scriptures without covering all of those things. That's why we do the lessons the way that we do. And so this is one of these lessons where we're going to just take a look at some things of where we're going and just operate in wisdom from from this knowledge. There are a lot of things that I've been teaching now, man. I know a good 20, 30 years I've been saying some stuff, and we're starting to see these things take place. And it just reminds me of this scripture here that's found in Ezekiel. I'm just trying to remember which book it is. What is it? Ezekiel. I may just have to kind of search for it. It may be around chapter 12. Yeah, I think it is chapter 12. And it's sobering when you look at it. When you look at it, I think it's 12. Let me make sure before. Yeah, it's in chapter 12. Again, Ezekiel is dealing with our nation when we were going into the Babylonian captivity, and so that's what the book of Ezekiel is mainly about. And he has visions of events and things like that. Things that Yah had said, leading up to the time when he started prophesying, and then words that came to him. As you look at verse 21 of Ezekiel 12, it says, "The word of Yah came unto me, saying," word of the Lord that was coming unto Ezekiel. And then some things also he spoke about the future. And the book of Ezekiel is really interesting because of a lot of open visions that he had, and he did a lot of things that that showed symbolism of things that was getting ready to happen to our nation, and it was things that didn't make sense to members of our nation. But when they would ask him what was he doing, then the word of Yah would come to him, and he would prophesy. Yah told him one time. He said, and I think it's even in this book. Yah said, "Dig a hole in the wall." And take you know, I'm going to just say your belongings out in a manner by which it's showing that you're in captivity. You know, take them out in the dark, you know, take them out in the dark and then bring, you know, bring stuff out during the daytime. And so here you have members of our nation looking at Ezekiel and was like, man, this nut is crazy. He moving stuff out of his house and just walking, putting it in one place and putting it in another. Then he coming in, he tearing a hole in the wall, you know, and then he taking stuff out and he's walking around and you know, and so they looking at him like, okay, what is he doing? Well, y'all had him doing all these things because he was getting him ready to prophesy to our nation to let them know, as you see Ezekiel doing here, that's how you're going to be carried away. You're going to be carried away. Your belongings are going to be carried away. You're going to go into captivity. One time he blindfolded himself and was walking with the stuff. I mean, it was just a lot of strange stuff that you saw him doing. And so they sit up and look like, this nut is going crazy. You know, but yet Yah had given him a word to do all these things, and they had symbolism of stuff, and you can go read the books to see that everything that Ezekiel did in chapter 12 and other examples that he was, you know, other things that he was doing as a sign, it came to pass exactly like Yah said it would. But the interesting part about it is verse 20, 21, 22, and these other verses that I'm going to read, and
why the scripture says, you know, if you say, you know, thou fool, you are in danger of hellfire, because to them what he was doing was foolish.
Yeah.
And if they were to address it as such, it's something that Yah is doing, so he put you in jeopardy, even though to them it didn't make any sense.
Yeah. And that's a unique thing about Yah. You know, that's a good point. You know, that's a good point. And that's a unique thing about Yah, is Yah will use the foolish thing. That's the reason why I say a lot of time, even in my writing, I say I'm just a foolish thing, because Yah take the craziest stuff and confound the wise with it. He will do things that make absolutely no sense to people, just in order to get their attention, just so that he can give the understanding of really what he's doing. And so we just have to be, you know, be obedient. I mean, when you look at things that Ezekiel did, it was a lot of strange stuff. He would lay on one side for a period of time. Then he'd roll over and lay on the other side for a period of time. Then he would eat his food off of cow's dung. Then he would eat his food and drink while he was shaking. Just different stuff, and he would eat his food real careful and drink it real careful, because it was a symbolization to Israel that it was the day going to come when you going to have to ration your food, and every little precious thing you eat, you know, it's going to be precious to you. And so I'm eating it slow as something symbolic to let you know that this is what actually going to happen to you as a nation of people. And so when you see these things, and then you look at verse 21, you understand the mindset of our people. And Yah gives a word to show, first of all, how wonderful he is. And the reason why I'm saying how wonderful he is because he's such a loving and personal God that he's patient, and he gives the he gave our nation so many opportunities to change and things like that. And you see it in there. So this is what verse 21 says. It says, in the word of Yah came unto me saying, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. And so this scripture came to mind when I said, man, I've been preaching this, you know, 20, 30 years, been warning about the days that we're living in now, been talking about, you know, wars and rumors of wars and diseases and plagues and things like this, you know, viruses, all these things, you know, been preaching this for years. And when people hear this stuff for years and years and years, they have a tendency to say, ah, man, you know, man, no, crazy. or they'll hear certain things that you may say, and they'll be like, oh, man, they crazy. Man, they've been saying that for a long time, man. It's been 20 years ago, and they were still talking about the same stuff, and it hasn't happened. Well, when you look at things that y'all was saying, y'all had spoke through the prophets. He's speaking through Ezekiel. He's speaking through Isaiah, Jeremiah. He's speaking through all these prophets about things warning our nation, and our nation had heard it so much to the point to where they got to the point to where it was like, oh man, that's down the road. Yeah, that where he, you know, Isaiah gave that word too. Jeremiah said it too, and all these other prophets said it too, and all these years have gone by and none of this has taken place. And so Yah responds through Ezekiel. When you look at the verse, it says, the word of Yah came unto me, saying, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel? Saying, he's saying our nation is saying this, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth. So Yah is asking, he's asking Ezekiel this question because he want to present it to our nation. So he's reminding them of what they have been saying for, you know, for generations. Oh man, it's prolonged. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. You get a lot of people that say, oh yeah, man, before all this stuff starts going down, I'll be dead and gone. I'll be in heaven by then. The church is going to be raptured. We don't have none of this stuff to worry about. These days are prolonged. And when Christ returns to get us, then, you know, we're going to be able to avoid all this tribulation and all these different things. And so people are constantly saying the days are prolonged, and now they're starting to look us in the face. And all these prophecies are starting to be fulfilled. And Yah is saying the very thing that people have been decreeing that it's taken a long time. You know, my mom was born in 1921. They were talking about the return of Christ then. Go ahead.
Talking about Christ coming back as a thief in the night. And then at the time, people were like, how are you coming back as a thief in the night with everybody talking about it? But a few years later.
Yeah. And so everybody who's anybody in their generation have said that this is the generation by which Christ is going to return. So people have been talking about it for years and years and years. And now you look at society. Society has gotten so relaxed and so uncaring about the return of Christ to the point to where people are doing pretty much whatever they want to do. And people have this mindset where there is this form of godliness, but there's no power associated with it. You actually see no connection with the words as far as the relationship is concerned. Everybody talking about Jesus, and you can go on Facebook and see high five or share this with 10 people if the Lord is good. And everybody's sharing everything about how good God is, but nobody is being good to Yah. Everybody's talking about how wonderful he is, and I was looking at one particular post that I saw of a lady that, you know, I've been calling her my niece for years, and so I think something had happened to her nephew or something like that, and she had put on Facebook, You know, God, please let him breathe, or something like that. Please let him breathe. And all these folks were saying, praying. And I was fascinated about it from a twofold perspective, in that I wanted to pray, but Yah said, stand still. I wanted to be just like everybody else and say, you know, I'm praying for your niece, and I'm praying for the circumstance. Yah said, you sit still. So you sit still because people have gotten so used to praying about things, and nobody is seeking the purpose and plan and will of Yah about anything. Everybody just praying the perfect thing according to their desire. So Yah said, don't respond. He said, just look at it. Just look and see what's going on and how people are so quick to call on Yah in a time of need, but never think about it until it gets to a time of need. And so you said the scripture, so I pull it up here. I pull up another Bible here. And, yes, go ahead.
And when they say that, I'm praying, it's almost like it's not even an effective thing to say.
Form of godliness.
And yes. I told my brother, he was saying something about his son, so I told him individually, not in that setting. I said, just because I don't say I'm praying doesn't mean I'm not praying.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, you know, praying, is that just a word?
The politically correct response.
Yeah, that's what it is.
The politically correct response.
But it's when you use a thing so much.
Well, I guess
much,
the socially correct response.
But yeah.
Yeah.
When you use it so much, it's almost like it loses its effectiveness.
That's true. And so that's why I said that there's this form of godliness but no power. That's exactly what it is. It's like people have gotten so accustomed to saying what is the custom to the point to where it has no effect anymore. Everybody said praying, but nobody's praying. So when it came up on me to pray, y'all said, sit still. Everybody else putting this down because it is the social thing to say. He said, but this ain't no social thing with you. I showed you this so that you can see that all these people have this form and they have what appears to be a relationship with me, but very few, if any of them, even know me. And the reason why very few people are, as Mama Coates mentioned, there is no effectiveness of it, is because people are saying what Ezekiel is saying. Oh, the time is prolonged. I got time. I need to get all I need to get all of my stuff out of me before I get saved. What kind of stuff is that? Before I get saved, I gotta do me and do all this other stuff, you know. And so everybody think that salvation is tomorrow. It ain't even promised to us. Everybody's thinking they're gonna get it right someday. You got folks that started out as teenagers saying someday I'm gonna get it right, and they're 100 years old still saying I'm gonna get it right after a while. I ain't quite ready. You have something?
Mm.
Okay. Oh, you had something. I knew somebody did. Go ahead.
It reminded me of when me and you went up to the hospital to see the lady that owned the nursing home. She has been so long, I ain't forgot her name.
Okay.
And we went up there to the hospital and they asked you to pray for old boy.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, I ain't praying for somebody that's already dead.
Yeah.
Because he was already dead.
Yeah.
But they wanted you to pray for
them. Yeah.
That's what I remind me while you're saying that.
Yeah.
That popped in my head.
Yep. And that was all from a traditional standpoint. Yep. Okay, the Rev is here. Let's let the Rev do the traditional Revy thing.
Yep.
That's what I ain't your traditional Revy thing.
Yep. That's what they want.
Y'all not leading me to say a word, and I'm not saying a word, regardless of how all of y'all feel. And so this is where we are. And you see this here. There's a sign, Matthew 24, to the right of the screen. It says, but the day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. This is Christ talking. No one knows the time that Christ is going to return, not even Christ. It's only the Father. Only the Father knows. He's God all by himself. But he, notice what he says. He said, no man know the day or the hour. But then verse 37, he gives the season. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of in the days that were before the flood, they were eating. Is eating going around? Everybody love partying, celebrating, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark. In other words, everybody was doing everything but thinking about the kingdom. Ain't this the season?
Well, business as usual.
Business as usual. And the business has gotten worse. See, one thing I noticed about, I like I said, Mama Nim. One thing I noticed about when Mama Nim was coming up and was saying this stuff, you didn't see the things that you see now. Mm-hmm. there was some form of godliness that was in everything. You still had a little bit in the school. You still had a little bit in movies. You still had a little bit in different things. And there were certain things they wouldn't present because it was just morally unrighteous. The covers are off now. If you think about it, they'll put it on the screen. Anything you can imagine, they'll put it on. Anything that goes on, in other words, everything is free willing and go, go, go now.
You're coming out the closet.
Out of the closet. Everything is coming out of the woodwork.
I think about when God destroyed the earth before, and you know, it spoke about how offensive it was to him, what was going on. And I just ponder in my mind, my goodness, what must he be thinking and feeling today? Because, like you said, it's no holds barred. It's just like
anything.
Yep.
And if it repented him that he had created man then, I mean, it's just way worse.
Can you imagine the mess that he's looking at now?
But his grace and mercy.
Yes.
You know, Pastor, I was this young lady is supposed to have a child by our great nephew. So I went over to Sharonda's and I saw the baby. And I was just listening at everybody talk. And I'm like, just in shock, no respect. The young girl talking to my sister like she crazy, which she is crazy. But, and then I'm listening at our great nephew, Sharonda, little boy, telling his mama, shut up. It just blew me away. It was like, no, and they thought it was cute. And I'm like,
that's part of the curse though, right?
It is.
And I'm looking at the parents, how there's no teaching. And what I'm seeing from my sister to her daughter and from her daughters to their child. And I'm looking like, we wouldn't dare disrespect our mom, our aunts, any grown up period. Like, and it was like, I'm like, Lord, what is going on?
Because it's like what you say, it had to be taught though. It ain't magic. It ain't inherent in a child when they come up that those things happen. Somebody had to instill it in them. And if nobody ain't doing that, that's the result.
It was like my sister even said, he can't talk to me like that. But then, in other words, it was okay for him to talk to the other grandmom and the mama like that. And I'm like, oh my God. It got so vexing that I said, I'll see y'all later. You know, I had to get up out of there. You know, I went to see the great nephew. And, you know, and I'm looking at his throat off mama talking. I'm like, oh my
God. But see, that's a sign though.
Yeah.
When we look at these things and what we're discussing now, that's the sign of the days of Noah. Mm-hmm. See, and this is how we know we're the generation. As you said, you didn't see that in Mama Nim's day. You didn't see that. You didn't see Mama Nim do that. Mm-hmm. You didn't see people generations before them do that. But in this day, we are seeing those things. Brother-in-law said, everything out of the woodwork, everything is out of the closet. These are the day of Noah.
Yes, ma'am, no, ma'am.
These are the days of Noah. That's how we know that we're the generation. Because when you look at Matthew 24, it said, when you see all these things, know that is the generation that shall see his return. We are that generation. Ain't no doubt about it. Yes?
It just amazes me how some people have grandkids that, you know, don't really respect them, but they know, like, how I was raised. They mm-hmm. say, oh, yeah. Well, you should, like, if they're having a conversation with me, it's, oh, yes, it should be yes, ma'am. But they don't require their kid or grandkids to say yes, ma'am to
them. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just like some people pick on the how others were raised.
Yeah.
And at the same time, this generation is a lot more selfish in the context of, if you say yes, ma'am, that, yes, ma'am.
Right.
Yeah, they get offended.
I got that before. I'm not no ma'am. I'm not old. I didn't say that because you was old. I said that because you was a lady.
Right.
I thought. You know. And so these are the days, y'all. You had something else? So these are the days. So when you look at it here, again, verse 37 said, but see, no man know the day or the hour, but we know the season. We are in the season. I can't tell you when he's coming. I can't say he's coming on Saturday. If I do, y'all know I'm a false prophet. Run as fast away from me as you can. If I say he'll be here by 2 o'clock in the morning, run. No man know the day or the hour.
So but anybody that make them prophecies,
you run.
We know they lie.
Huh. But we know the season. Go ahead.
Anybody say I'm him?
Yeah. Mm. We know the season. Because
they crack the sky.
Because that's part of Matthew 24. Many will come in that day saying, I am Christ. Mm-hmm. Also proclaiming to be Christ or to be anointed. You got a lot of people saying, I'm called of y'all. I'm anointed. Mm-mm. I like how the scripture points out that when the millennial reign of Christ comes, that there are people who will be saying, I'm just a farmer. In other words, those that have been going around saying that they have certain gifts, you know, preacher, pastor, evangelist, whatever you want to call, will have to admit that they never had that calling. Because it's going to be that strict and things are going to be that much in order, and they're going to have to come to the conclusion and say, you know what, I'm just a farmer. That's all I do.
And could it also be when that true responsibility hits for what those positions are, they don't want them no more.
Right? They don't want them nor have the skill.
Right, I can't cooking donuts now. Right. Oh, you mean right. This position require all of this? I don't want that.
Right.
I'm just a former.
Right. In Jeremiah 23, when Yah raise up the shepherds that have his heart to feed the people, you're going to see the true shepherds in comparison to the false ones. And the false ones going to have to go back to farming like they used to be, or like they're supposed to be. So that's what the scripture talks about. And so when you look at the days of Noah, verse 37, but as the day of Noah was, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage unto the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. See, everything that's going away is not of the kingdom. But Christians teach that they're going to be taken away. You can go read the scriptures, and the scripture will confirm to you over and over that everything that is taken away is that is ungodly. Let the book tell the truth. Now, verse 39. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. So when Christians teach this, they say the one that's taken is the one that's taken to heaven. It's the opposite. Let's let the book tell it. Don't listen to the crazy preacher. I'm just a fool. Let the book tell it. Now, two women shall be grinding in the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour your Lord doeth coming. Then he goes on and he says, but notice that if the goodman of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So now when you see this here, I'm going to just show you, I'm going to show you how to look at this. I'm going to let technology do it, okay? And say, because I like to try to teach you how to study at the same time, understand at the same time and study at the same time. Okay, so we're going to look at Luke 17. And that's why it's important to get a good Bible that can do what it took me years to do. Okay, we'll pull up Luke 17, and where is it? Just to show you where they go. I passed it. Where's the days of Noah? Oh, 37. Okay. Luke 17. It may be in Luke. Let me just see. To give you the answer here. Luke 17, we just start at verse 26.
While you're looking for that,
go ahead.
You know, they used to
have
this saying that it's when that day comes, it's not going to be time to get ready.
Right.
You need to already be ready. And one of those, that scripture that you had up there a while ago made me think of that. So it's not time to play. It's not time to, you know, like you said, put off. Well, I'll do it. It's today is the day.
Mm-hmm.
And now is the time. Because we don't know, and when that day comes, it's not going to be an opportunity to say, okay, well, let me fix all of these wrongs now.
There's a scripture that encompasses that says, I think, seek the Lord while he may be found. Let me see if I can find the rest of it. Because it's like, okay, there's a day come when you're going to be seeking, and, you know, that ain't happening no more. Your time, you missed that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Trying to find this here. Because they asked where. Yeah, here it is. Luke 17. Okay, now, to show you how. Let me get it all in my ducks in a row before I show you this now. Okay, and we'll come back to Ezekiel 12. Now, when you look at Matthew 24, it is the same as Luke 17. Okay? It has the grinding here. We'll go down to the left of the screen. 41. Okay. 41 and then Luke 17, 34. Okay, because 34, Luke 34 and Matthew 24 and 40 is the same. So we'll start there. Matthew 24 to the left of the screen said, then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. 34, Luke 17 in the middle. I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed, the one shall be taken, the other shall be left. It gives the man in the bed, but I'll go to verse 41 and 35 because that's where it really starts to coincide. 41 of Luke, Matthew 24, 41 says, two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Luke 17, 35, two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. So it's the same thing. And here's the men in the field. Verse 36, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Well, that coincide with 40. So they flip it. You see what I'm saying? 41 is 35 in Luke 17, and 40 is 36 in Luke 17. You see it? Mm-hmm. Here and here, and then here and here. So it's the same conversation. Then here's what they ask after two men. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord, where will they be taken? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered. Now, when you understand the prophecy as far as the eagles, the angel calls all the birds. And Daniel, I believe the book of Daniel gives the prophecy. He called all the birds from all over, and he makes, Yah is making a great feast of the dead men who will die in the Battle of Armageddon. And in that same meaning, it says, where a carcass, and I'll show you just as a reference instead of actually going there. Because when you see it here, see it shows reference to Matthew 24 and 28, but then I'm going to hit cross-reference here just to show you here. See, it's at Revelation. Let me see. Is it Revelation 3? Let me make sure. No. Let me just type it in. I'm going to type in the word carcass while it's there so that you can see what I'm saying here. No, not carcass. It's eagles. I'm going to show you eagles be gathered. I'm going to show you where these people are going. Still not give it. Eagles. It may say bird. Because they changed the word in a little bit. I'm going to type in files. I think that's what it is, files. Yep, it's files. Okay. Revelation 17. Revelation is, what is it, 17? Let me make sure again. Was it 19 instead of 17? Yes, 19. 19 and 17. Okay. Now let me show you this. Okay, Revelation 19, and I'm going to get out of these cross references since I found it. And like I said, the technology is there now. So what took me years to understand, I can show you real quick with technology. Now, when you look at I'm gonna pull up one more Bible, Luke 17. I'm gonna put Luke 17 beside this here. Then that way you can see it. Okay. Okay, here it is. Now, Luke 17, verse 37, it says, and they answered and said, where, Lord? In other words, where would one be left and one taken? Where? And he says here, whatsoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. Revelation 19, verse 17, says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great Yah, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of the horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beast and the king of the earth and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in a lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is this event.
Yes, so are you saying everybody essentially that take the mark is going to be brought to this location?
Yes, and so as he giving the prophecy, he's saying in a nutshell, two will be grinded and one left and one taken, because at the brightness of his coming, those wicked who are worshiping that beast gonna be destroyed, and when they're destroyed. The files, so when you look at the word files, go back up, verse 17. So when you look at the word files, it tells you what that is. And I'm gonna show you what eagles mean to show you it's the same thing. So when you look at the word files, it says bird. File, bird. When you look at the word eagle, Matthew 24 or 17. When you look at the word eagle, from 109, you keep going back. It says blow air naturally And it's showing you what the eagle is from the from its definition. It says an eagle from its wind-like flight, eagle. So it's showing you that the eagle is the same explanation for the word file in this book here. And so when you start seeing this here, the same thing the eagle is going to do here, file and eagle is one and the same. And that's where the one be gathered and one taken away is going to be. Because when they ask Yah where, I mean Christ where, he says, again, top of the screen, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where? Where, Lord? He answered them. So the one that's in the field is not going to be eaten. As far as the one that's left is concerned, the one that's left is going to be the one who's alive and remains. Okay, and they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And so he says, so you have to stay within the context. So I'm gonna get out of Revelation 19, and then we'll go back to Ezekiel. So go ahead.
So he gives that explanation because they should already have known what that meant.
Yes, this is why. When you look at Matthew 24, that's exactly what I was going to say. What were the days of Noah? Matthew 24:37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What are the signs of Noah? They were eating and drinking. Until, verse 39, they knew that until the flood came and took them away. What happened when the flood took them away? They died. So it's in the same contextual thought that everything that is taken away will be that is headed to destruction. And so the files are gathered for that which will be taken away. So one that's grinding in the, two that's grinding in the mill, one taken, that's the same thing as Noah's flood. We have to remember the context. So if one taken, then the other that's left, that lets you know he's fine. That's Noah. Noah wasn't taken. Noah was left. So everything that's left is fine. Everything that's taken is destroyed. So when you get over at Luke 17 and you start looking at verse 37, he's letting you know everything that's taken are those where the eagles are going to be eating on the bodies. So when people talk about the rapture and say, we're going to be caught up and taken out of here, I'll be like, I don't want to make that trip. Because according to the scripture, everything that is taken is the thing that's going to be destroyed. We're going to be gathered. I'll be in that number. And so that's how we understand. And so even when you look at the word taken, the word taken means receive near, associate with oneself. It says any familiar or intimate act of a relation by analogy to assume an office. It says receive, take, with, learn. And so that's why it says taken and the other left. When you look at the word left, it says lay aside, leave, alone, omit. And when you look at all the scriptures that's associated with that, when the death angel came through Egypt, Everything that was protected by Yah was left. You can see it all throughout the scripture. Anything that's wicked, when Yah move, is moved. Anything that's righteous stays. You can see it from a metaphoric term from Genesis to Revelation. Everything that is taken is wicked. Everything that is left is the righteous. That's why the scripture talking about the remnant of Israel.
I mean, even when you look at the context of that with us as a people, when we were unrighteous, we were taken.
Taken. Everything is opposite. And so when you look at these things that's associated with the scripture, that's why now going back to, are we good with Matthew 24 and Luke 17? We understand what the taken is and all that. That's what it teaches. So Luke 17 and Matthew 24, put them together and you understand what's going on. You go back in the book of Daniel and see what those files, the eagles and all that are going to do. It's for the battle of Armageddon. They're going to eat those bodies. They're going to be filled with the bodies of the wicked during the day of Armageddon when Christ returns and he's going to destroy those armies. What they going to do with them? All your buzzards and your birds that eat prey and stuff like that, they all going to gather on that day. And they're going to eat. That's what the scripture says. And so when you look at Ezekiel 12 now, verse 21, people are just like, you know, back then, people today, just like our nation was thinking, their mindset is, okay, this is prolonged. We have nothing to worry about. We don't have any concern. Man, people been talking about Jesus coming back for a long time. He's not coming back. That stuff ain't real. So Yah answers our nation through Jeremiah. He says, son of man, what is the proverb that ye have heard in the land of Egypt saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? He asked the question. He said, tell them therefore, thus said Yah God, I will make this proverb to cease. In other words, the prolong, Yah said, I'm going to stop the prolong. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the day are at hand. And the effect of every vision. Y'all said, everything I said is coming to pass. He said, for there be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. Everybody walking around here saying, man, prosperity. Every year, some preacher got a new variation of this is a year to prosper. Where's the warning? Where's the warning looking at earth in the state that it's in? Nations operating in wickedness and all these things are going on. Where's the warning? What are the prophets that standing up and saying, y'all, you better be ready. We better stay focused. We better get as close to y'all as we can. Things are changing. Oh, you still got preachers sitting up there talking about you got to figure out how to go get your stuff. Get your house and get your car. And you go get your man. You go get your woman. And you get your money. You celebrate your career. You build up your career. You be concerned about everything but things of the kingdom. And this system is setting us up and getting us ready. Pharaoh is at work. Pharaoh is trying to get everybody in debt. Pharaoh got this money set aside and for all this tragic stuff that's going on, even as far as the state of Texas is concerned right now. But Pharaoh got a mindset to try to get everybody in debt. Because Pharaoh's mindset is no different than what it was as far as the scripture's concerned. That's why I'm saying Pharaoh. See, those people started out, the Egyptians as well as our nation started out just going and giving their money for sustainment. We're starting out just giving all our money to Walmart and all these different places now because we don't know how to grow our own food. So we got to depend on Walmart. And when Walmart and all this said the shelves are not going to be full, you know, feel we panic. And everybody start running and getting baskets and filling them up with toilet paper and all this kind of stuff. Like the only thing you ever wipe your rear end with is toilet paper. I'm like, okay, back in the day, people wasn't toilet paper. People survived back in the day. But it's just that people have gotten so dependent upon the system that their total dependency is up on life sustainment with a system that doesn't care about it. A system that doesn't care about us. And so that system, just like Pharaoh, is saying, okay, I'm going to arrange it where I'm going to get all their money first. Then once I get their money, then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to get their property. Then once I get their property, I'm going to get them. Then once I get them, I'm going to start making demands to them and they're going to have to do exactly what I want them to do or they can't buy or sell. That's where we're headed. And so all these stimuluses and all these other things to stimulate you is not about you. It's about getting you prepared to be controlled even more and more and make you more dependent upon a system that is going to put its agenda before you. And then you're going to have to make a choice. We going to have to make a choice. That's where we're headed. We're headed to the days of Noah where there's so much wickedness abounding to the point to where you can't tell, you know, what's righteous and unrighteous. I'm gonna call his name out because I ain't playing. You got Steve Harvey. Now he's doing Christmas. He went over to Saudi Arabia and him and his wife standing there wrapped up in the whatever dashiki, I don't know what you call this stuff. He's wrapped up in that stuff and he was saying that there had been a path to God and all that. You know, you got people that respect him as an individual, so they saying, you know what, that's right. It's many paths to God. Well, I figure y'all know how to get to him, and if he said the only way is through his son, then I'm going to stick with what he said. Forget a Steve Harvey. Just because you got some money and they done, you know, white polish your teeth and fix your wig and all that kind of stuff. Now you want to stand there and try to tell me how God worked? Standing there looking like something else. Grin, I said, boy, look at this con game going here. But that's what's going on. Everybody's saying, oh, the days are prolonged. And y'all saying, nah, they're at hand. He said, long tell the people it's at hand. And everything that we've been discussing for years and years, when all these prophets gave these prophecies and stuff, and we're talking about them. And I've been talking about it for 30 years myself. Y'all said, tell them it's at hand. They looking at this. Tell Christian folks that thinking they finna get raptured that it ain't going nowhere. The days are at hand. You're not getting a first class ticket up out of this stuff. Matthew 24 says, after the tribulation, Christ returns.
The funny thing is, you know, they'll look at what you say and call that false doctrine.
They will.
And they'll do that all the way up.
It's been called that too.
Yeah. And do that all the way up until stuff starts really getting crazy and they start to realize we ain't going nowhere.
The same thing as far as Ezekiel and Isaiah is concerned. They were putting them in jail. You should saw the stuff that Ezekiel, oh, go read the book of Ezekiel and find out what he was going through. Y'all was telling me, he said, go ahead and speak. Don't be afraid of him. I'm going to protect you. So to let you know that he was in danger a lot of time. Go read about Jeremiah. He's put in prison. A lot of times he's about to die. Go read about Paul, who was beaten, left for dead. He wasn't a preacher riding around in the Rolls Royce and in nice comfort air and living in a 10-bedroom mansion. No, go read about the real preachers. The world didn't like the real preachers. Y'all said, through Christ, he said, men will hate you for my name's sake. They didn't like Isaiah. Our nation hated to see him coming. They didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't like Ezekiel. One thing I realized about all the prophets, very few people liked them. Because they always told them the truth. And plenty so-called prophets were standing up against them too. And so this is where we are. And so, you know, I wanted to encourage you to just stay focused and there's a lot of things that we have to deal with. What the system is doing is using, as we mentioned earlier, forms of godliness. Even the process by which, you know, and that's what I put in writing, in that writing that I did, you know, about one of the choice. The process by which the system is even dealing with coronavirus, that's scriptural. Where do you think the 14-day waiting period come from? In the Bible. Go read the plague and see what happened during the plague, leprosy and things like that. They would quarantine them for 14 days. So you see that form of godliness, but without the power. And so what they're doing is they're going to the scriptures and said, this is how we deal with people. So what I told you about this Pharaoh mentality, that's why I mentioned it. They are doing to us, they have gone to the scriptures and they said, this is how Pharaoh got control of all the people. We're going to use Pharaoh's agenda. It worked once, it'll work again. And it's working. Create an environment where people have to spend their money and get little return. Then after that, they'll start going in debt. Once they go in debt, they're not going to be able to pay the debt. Once they can't pay the debt, then they're enslaved to me. Once I enslave them, I got complete control over them. I do with them what I want. And that's what this thing is. That's where it's headed, and that's how the system is doing things, and we're living in the days of Noah. Now think about this, and I'm going to close if y'all don't have anything else to say. You know these 20,000-seat auditorium, these churches, they basically irrelevant now. And I gave a prophecy a while back. I said, they'll never fill up again. They were duped by the system. They were duped into believing that they were always going to have 20,000, 30,000 people showing up at their church on Sundays. And one plague shut it down. Now they got 15,000 seat auditorium and they might get 2,000 in there. Never be the same again. Because there's this form of godliness and the mindset that people have nowadays, they like, okay, y'all are not coming. I'm old Christian folks. And then it didn't help when these white evangelicals did what they did. And so there's no trust as far as the church is concerned, so it's just getting worse and worse. And the last thing you want now is some great big old church building that's specifically set aside for church worship. That's why y'all stirred us away from that. Get something to accommodate people, but something in a way that has more facet to it than just a sanctuary. You got people got 100,000 square foot building and 90,000 of it is sanctuary. It's crazy. You know, and so this is where we are, and y'all just wanted me to encourage you to not be afraid, but to be excited, because we know our redemption draw nigh. Our redemption is near. Don't know the day or the hour. Just know the season. And continue to look for the signs that the scripture reveals. What the scripture gives us is signs. And we know where we are from those signs. And we are definitely living in the days of Noah. You know, it's like what Mama Coach said. During the days of Noah, it had to be terrible. And so these days here give us a general idea what the days of Noah were like. And so the days in between those time frame were not like the days of Noah. We're living in those days now. Just that we got more access to do more wickedness. That's all. But these are the same days. They were doing a lot of these things that we're doing now as mankind. And so everything is in place, and you can if you're discerning, you can feel the pain, the birth pain. Something is about to give. And there are some wonderful things that's going to take place first, because we understand the prophecies. So things are going to get better. There is going to be marrying and celebrating and all that. It's going to get better, but it's going to get worse. So What I mean by better than Thomas, as far as this virus is concerned, all that's going to improve. It's improving now. People are starting to come out with the numbers, and they're starting to realize that it's inflated, and we were duped into some things, and at the same time, we still have to be wise because they're doing some things. You know, it is what it is. These, you know, Satan is the god of this world right now, and don't put it past what he's willing to do. These are the days that we're living in. So I just wanted to share that with y'all. Anything else from anybody? We're good? Okay. That's all I have, and I'll go ahead and get ready to close. But I just want to let you know, these are the days of Noah, and they're at hand. And so respond accordingly. You know, learn how to do some things that mom and them used to do, and just kind of, you know, sharpen up your skills on some things, because we don't know. Yeah, I like how Christ said in reference to the disciples when it wasn't that he needed a sword, but he told them to get one. And you know, and he didn't tell them to get one because, you know, he was hopeful that they were going to use it. He just said, get one just in case. I'd rather be prepared than not prepared, whether I have to do it or not. You know, we've got a taste of what it's like to not have, you know, lights and heat and things like that. Okay, we know. Okay, let's get prepared. What if it happened again? Are we getting prepared? Okay. My brother had invented this thing, and he never used it. He never used it, and so I'm just seeking y'all right now on how to go about using it. In the system that we're in right now. And when my brother finally described it to me, I never could get it. And then one day he described it, and y'all just allowed me to see it, and I sit down and drew it. And so, it's fairly easy to do, but it'll definitely keep your house warm throughout the house if it's done right. And so I'm just seeking y'all and wisdom on how to do it. I know that you got to be careful in revealing things to the system, because the system always try to take something and put laws in place to hinder it and all that. So I'm just trying to use wisdom on how to operate. I'm like, okay, you know, everything may not be to make money off of it. It may be just to survive off of it. So I'm just seeking wisdom on how to do it, how to present it. And I don't know, it may be something we may keep in house. And just say, okay, you know, for all of us who are on the same page, this is what you do, and this is the kind of system we'll build and do it in a way to where you know, you can have it if you ever need it. So I'll get with you on that as y'all leave. Okay, we good? All right, I'll go ahead and stop here. Father, y'all, we just bless you on today, and we thank you for just another word and warning us again, just to let us know that the days are at hand. We don't know the day or the hour, but we are aware of the season. And as the fig tree bloom each summer, we know that summer is nigh. And it's the same way as we see all these different signs, and they are indeed the days of Noah. We know that the time frame is near where our Savior will return and redeem us as a nation. And we look forward to that day. And we thank you for it. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right.